However,
because I'm whole body in the image. Are you? Now you're not supposed to get up without being asked. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just go to
you can start rolling. Look at
if he wants to get up all the way.
All right.
You want to have like.
So. Yeah. So. It's easy with three dogs to get distracted and sort and like go, oh my gosh, what were we even talking about? Okay. So this is Dr. Karen, and we are sharing thoughts about basically taurine, and we're going to keep it really just tight. We're going to try to keep it tight, talk about taurine and taurine's relationship with DCM, which is a big subject in veterinary medicine, largely because in January of 2019, the New York Times released an article that really inflamed pet owners. I really think it went out to like hundreds of thousands of pet owners, and it basically said that that dogs may be being driven into DCM, dilated cardiomyopathy, a heart condition, a very bad heart condition, through nutritional deficiencies, which basically sent our holistic community, and I basically think all our veterinary community, into just a huge uproar. And I think it's great for us to just like iron out the subject a little bit to the extent that we know it. It's a really important thing. I mean, I wrote a chapter on it in my book, and people thought that I more or less kind of wiped the sort of subject to the side, but I didn't. That's why I wrote a chapter in the book. It's actually a really important thing to talk about. And so Dr. Karen has some thoughts about it, you know, food, feeding, you know, what the veterinary industry is basically telling people. It's just great to, we have so few opportunities to have I'm 100% holistic veterinarian, but I obviously went to vet school, and Dr. Karen does chiropractic and does some natural things too, and so it's kind of, we're kind of always like riding that line, I think, mm-hmm. between conventional and holistic, and it's with food and what to recommend to clients, it's sort of a little bit tricky. I mean, right. I think maybe you think that too.
Yeah, I personally really don't like talking about dog food. I feel like it's a really loaded and political subject. Yeah. People have really strong opinions about what they feed their dogs or cats, or what they want to, you know, what they want to buy and who they want to buy it from, and what companies they want to buy it from. And I get all that, and that's all fine. And those are all good discussions to have. But what I tell clients is that our cardiologists have seen, our specialty cardiologists have seen countless, literally quoting, countless numbers of dilated cardiomyopathy patients in the last couple of years that have been on what they call grain-free diets. And they're not really sure yet. Conventional medicine, all the people who study it are not really sure yet, as you well know, why the DCM is happening, but it seems to be correlated with grain-free diets and or the addition of peas, legumes, peas which are legumes, lentils, and sweet potatoes and potatoes seem to be really overrepresented in this DCM kind of epidemic. So that's what I tell my patients in conventional medicine clinic, is that this is what the cardiologists know, what they're seeing, what they're correlating.
It's kind of like an experiential knowledge, and I have some things to add about that.
Exactly.
But
so that's what I'm telling people. And in terms of my personal approach to the little bit that I know, some of which I learned from you, is I feed my dogs half high-quality kibble, and I feed them half high-quality cubed raw dog food, which is a complete, it has vegetables and grains and stuff in it, so it's a complete meal as well. So I that's my walk, and that's how I'm dealing
that's
with it.
That's your balance.
Myself.
That's balance, so that you can just wake up in the morning and not worry in your mind.
That's what I'm doing. So, you know, I don't necessarily recommend that to everybody because there's all this political stuff about feeding raw.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time and the energy to get into that with every client. But that is my personal approach.
Well, what I would love from a holistic vet standpoint is for regular vets to have knowledge about raw feeding and about homemade feeding and about the whole subject in general, because what I feel like is that and you know, is that they're getting one point of view. They're getting like a corporate type point of view. They're getting an industry run, which is highly charged, highly political, like you said, point of view. And what I like to do is educate people about, basically, we're talking about like taurine, taurine absorption, and the things that affect calcium channels. And that's a whole thing that's not just about nutrition. Mm-hmm. It's about other things too. So, and maybe I can just touch on some of those. So in my book, I basically quote, all the studies are basically, even though the industry is basically saying, yes, we think it's that the legumes are blocking the taurine absorption, we don't know how that's happening. Well, it's there. Then the new studies are sort of like, it's maybe not happening. So, you know, I quote three veterinary studies that basically say, we're not sure if that's mm-hmm. what's happening. They are seeing more of this, but see, what's happening really, the bottom line that we should all be talking about, even more important, I think, is that why are people feeding grain-free kibbles?
Right.
Okay, yeah. We have an epidemic of allergies. They're feeding grain-free kibbles because they're sick of the ear infections. Mm-hmm. They're sick of the gastritis, the colitis. They're sick of all that. They don't, and what they do is they feed these diets and then they go, wow, now I don't have to deal with the ear infections. Now I don't have to have an itchy dog. This is even become to a head now. It's because more people are feeding alternative diets. In my practice, I don't recommend grain-free kibbles. Mm-hmm. I've never recommended grain-free kibbles.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Mm-hmm. I've only recommended raw and homemade diets. Mm-hmm. And in our raw and homemade diets, this is a non-issue. Mm-hmm. I've never had a patient with DCM, not in 27 years. And the reason is that, you know, I teach clients where taurine is found in nature. Mm-hmm. So it's muscles that move. Mm-hmm. So it's heart tissue, it's meats like venison, it's not in our factory farmed meats, and that's another issue. So we're getting more issues with, you know, amino acid absorption in general, is because in our factory farmed meats, our chicken has no taurine anymore. Mm-hmm. If our chicken ran around like it did in the yesteryear, mm-hmm. it would have taurine. Mm-hmm. The only thing in a chicken that has taurine is the heart. Mm-hmm. Bison has a lot of taurine because they can't factory farm it. Mm-hmm. They can't feedlot finish it. So it's in muscles that move. In a turkey, it's the thigh meat. Mm. And yet, every time we freeze it, every time we process it, every time we cook it, we destroy the taurine. We destroy all the sulfur-containing amino acids. It's why we all have to add, a lot of people are adding L-methionine back into the food. Even the conventional food companies, they have to add taurine back. They have to add L-methionine back. It's because they destroyed all the taurine up front and now they have to add it all back. Mm-hmm. Certain companies have taken care of doing that very well. And those are the ones perhaps that you know that you sort of, you know, that are advertising their position on this. Mm-hmm. But in raw feeding, it's a non-issue. But what happens with conventional vets sometimes, and I know you'd be different, but... is that they have you, okay, you're either feeding these four foods that we know are safe, or you're not. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, that means you could be doing grain-free kibble, you could be doing raw, you could be doing homemade. It doesn't matter, because in their mind, you're just not. Mm-hmm. So then you're in this category, and this category says your dog is gonna get heart failure. In their mind, in the vet's mind, that's what's gonna happen. But it's not actually true, so, there's a lot to know about it, and I've been studying it a lot, but what I think is that there's a lack of the things we were just talking about before. Mm-hmm. So this is like minerals and B vitamins that help with amino acid synthesis. So I think the dogs can't utilize the sulfur-containing amino acids like taurine because they're in a position where they're not getting enough selenium, zinc, copper, manganese, magnesium. I mean, the list goes on and on. B vitamins, many, many B vitamins, I think, are lacking in most kibbles, even the ones that are supposed to be safe. Mm-hmm. They add some of them back in, but it's just like the very basic RDA. But what I propose in my book is another theory that no one has really looked at, that I know of, at least not in our world. And that is... So we know that taurine, the way it influences heart tissue, is through calcium channels. Basically, the taurine helps facilitate calcium channel, flux. So it's basically how the muscles communicate, especially the muscles of the heart. That's because there's a lot of calcium channels in the heart. But it could be other muscles as well. It could be causing things like fatigue and other symptoms. And so what I do in my book is I talk, there was a study out of University of Washington where they actually talked about EMFs and how EMFs also, especially like high frequency, these like radio waves, like 5G, how that, 5G that comes from, not from underground, safe, like public owned underground sources, but from other sources, from airway sources, also affects calcium channels. And I thought, you know, no one's really looking at this. Everyone thinks this is just like a grain-free kibble thing, period, the end. And I don't think so. These dogs, like us, are canaries in the coal mine for our high level of EMFs that basically kind of in a lot of areas are off the chart. Like if you go to downtown on State Street, like it comes, if you look at the monitors or the meters, it's into the dangerous levels. I mean, how can we know without safety studies, there's been a whole 5G rollout without safety studies, if calcium channels in our pet friends may be influenced by that too? I'm just saying there might be more than one variable. I kind of do think, and I have seen some of the grain-free kibbles sort of like associated with it, but like I say, I as a holistic vet don't recommend those kibbles. I'm trying to get someone to cook for the dog. So that is, I'm going to help protect the taurine status of the dog through homemade diets, which I think is the best way to do it. I think it's better than any processed food, is to get a natural source of those sulfur-containing amino acids. So that's kind of the other way of looking at it. And it's so hard for us because we know that conventional vets generally lump us, lump the raw feeding vets, lump the homemade feeding vets into this sort of, you know, grain-free kibble category and don't understand that there's actually a lot of nuances within that category and that there may be other variables that no one's studying because it's not in their interest. You know, most of the studies going on now, it's just like, I feel like it's all corporate driven, it's all industry driven. If we could make it more kind of like, let's look at all the variables about calcium channels. Let's talk and understand about what are calcium channels in general and what are the all the variables that could be influencing them. It's not just taurine, but taurine is one of the things. And you know what's really interesting about this whole discussion? Taurine was never considered an essential amino acid for dogs up until like what? This whole controversy came in. It was never in the...
We never talked about it for dogs.
And I think that the way we're farming our meats, the way we're doing EMFs, the way we're, you know, basically overproducing and, I mean, I think there's multiple influences. So, I don't know. Have you ever thought about those things? Or has that ever, like, crossed your mind as being, when you're in a conventional practice, like, do people discuss this kind of thing? Looking outside the box.
Unfortunately, not really. And I think part of the reason is that talking about electromagnetic radiation and frequencies is just, it's a little on the edge of...
People don't accept it.
People don't accept
and
it.
And I say, but it's happening. And it's so easy to just turn the Wi-Fi off at night and now you just reduced it by 50%. I mean, it could be simple like that.
Right. Well, this whole 5G rollout too is... You know, I don't know.
It's really a charged issue.
It hasn't been looked at very well.
They don't. Yeah. You know, somehow someone in the government says, "Yeah, we don't need health studies."
Yeah.
But who are the canaries in the coal mine? They are going to be our pets. Most of the time, the routers are by the pets. They're down at the ground level. You know, it's like, oh, we don't sleep there, but the dog does. The cat is.
Right.
So what are those? You know, where are those health studies? That's what I want to know.
Well, I think until it's in somebody's financial interest, those studies don't tend to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see them happening anytime soon unless somehow there's financing for that sort of thing.
That would be from the government or from the public, you know?
It's not going to come from the Verizon or Sprint.
No, I don't think so.
No.
In fact, they're going to make us sound, which they already have been successful. Oh, anyone who brings up the subject is crazy. It's like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We're just asking a question.
Yeah. And, you know, calcium channels, you know, there's a lot of influences. So anyway, yeah, it's a great thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing with me.